This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
First of all, welcome for everyone that's here in the building and welcome to those that's streaming in this evening. It's nice to have an empty full house. And it's good to see some of the faces, some of you guys returning, some of you guys for the first time that I've seen you here. Welcome to everyone. We're busy with Joseph, the life of Joseph, and we're busy with the series called Dream to Destiny. And this is a 10-part series. Okay, so if you want to get the full picture, we're loading everything, not just streaming it live, but we're loading every week these sermons online. So please, to get the full picture, you're going to need to have all 10 sermons. Now, what is really incredible about Joseph's life is I believe it's going to unlock for many of us something that's in our life. Many of us find ourselves in challenges, and we don't quite understand the challenge. We don't understand why God does certain things in our lives. And if you work through the sermon series, I believe this will help you incredibly. I also believe that this is a great time to preach it for this sermon series for two reasons. One, to get our minds off of COVID-19. If you put on the news, if you put on any media at this point, it's just all the time COVID-19, COVID-19. And so it's to help us through this time to introspect. The other thing is, because it's COVID-19, a lot of us are being stretched in areas we've never been stretched before. So it's an unnatural time in mankind. And I want to say to you, if you're struggling and it's really getting hard, one, it is a good thing. And this sermon series will hopefully help you to work through that. Two, this is not normal. This is never seen before in the scale that it's been seen as we're going through this. As I don't know if you've seen the stats in America, how many people are picking up this disease per day. It's astronomical. It's beyond understanding at this stage. So if you are struggling, it's normal. You're okay to struggle in this time. I need just to say that. Sometimes as Christians, we kind of have to be rah, rah, near het gaan goed altijd. Right? I don't know if you've read the scriptures. I don't think it goes well most of the time. In fact, most of the scripture was written during hard times. All right. The number one reason that stops people from living in their destiny is character. The number one reason that many of us are not living in our destiny is because of our character. And we're going to close there. Thank you very much for coming. Let's open in prayer. Father, we come and give you this short little bit of time. Holy Spirit, come and speak into our spirits. Minister to us, Holy Spirit. Touch us in our inner beings. We turn off our minds in the name of Jesus right now. We turn off all our emotions. We turn off all the confusion. We turn off all the voices. And we ask, Holy Spirit, come and speak to us. Come and show us Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to start with a few statements, and as we go through the sermon series, I'm going to give many statements. Now, always take a statement with a pinch of salt, but nonetheless, I believe these are really important statements. Everyone has a dream, and everyone has a destiny. I believe that God has a dream for each and every one of us. I believe that God has a destiny for each and every one of us. In other words, I don't believe that any one of us was a mistake. That's a good place to say amen. Mm-hmm. The challenge or the problem is that most people live in the dream rather than the destiny. We're looking at the life of Joseph and the story of Joseph. The life of Joseph is between Genesis 37 and Genesis 50. Take time out to read through the scriptures. And don't do what we normally do, autopilot. Turn autopilot off when you read the story because you know the story too well. And as you read the scriptures, ask, Lord, what are you saying to me? Now, if you look at the life of Joseph, Joseph is an arrogant young man. Just to help you how you need to see this, which is everyone except for yourself. If you are able to see your own arrogance as you read the story, God will be able to bring you incredible breakthroughs. And that is my prayer for us as we work through this. This is not my own sermon series. This is modeled on the book by Robert Morris with the same title. If you'd like to get more depth and someone that's a lot more anointed than me in this, please go get the book, read the book. It is on Take a Lot if you are interested. This is chapter 2 that we're dealing with tonight. Chapter 2. Chapter 1 was the pride test. And if you weren't and you haven't heard that, you have to get that sermon. You have to listen to that word. This tonight, we're dealing with the pit test. And we're going to delve into the scriptures. Genesis 37. Now his brothers went to pasture their father's flock near Shechem. And Jacob said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers pasturing the flock at Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." And he said to him, he said to his father, "Here I am." So he said to him, "Go now, see if it is well with your brothers and with the flock. And bring me word." So he sent him from the valley of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. Let's stop there quickly. Many of us work, hopefully still have jobs, but many of us work for a boss, right? Does that make sense? Now, to put this in perspective, Joseph is 17 years old. There would be no reason for Joseph to go check on his brothers. His brothers are all in their 20s. We believe that their oldest two brothers are between their 20s and 30s. Their oldest brother was probably close to 40. Are you with me? In scripture, the person that would normally look after the sheep would be the youngest. We find David looking after the sheep. That was normal practices. But we find that Joseph is not with his brothers, and we need to take note of this. For one of two reasons. Either he was so favored by his dad that he didn't want him with the sheep because it was too low a job for him. Or, more likely, there was such animosity, which we spoke about last time. There's such animosity between the brothers that Israel, Jacob, had to keep his son away from the other sons. And he was hoping by sending his son that there could be reconciliation. Are you with me this evening? Now listen to this very beautiful scripture. And a man found him wandering in the fields. Joseph is an absolute daydreamer. He's not on a mission finding his brothers. He's literally wandering in the fields. And the man asked him, "What are you seeking?" Joseph does not even go to the man. The man has to come to Joseph. "Tell me, please, where they are pasturing the flock." And the man said, "They have gone away, and I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. Man, I love the story of Joseph. Joseph is the ultimate hope for us. All right? I need you to see Joseph didn't get it right in many different ways. I know we look at Joseph at these three, four moments we had where his character was perfect, but most of his character was very flawed. There is hope. Amen. They saw him afar, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. This is how much animosity there was. They said to one another, here comes this dreamer, right? Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a fierce animal has devoured him, and we will see what will come of his dreams. But when Reuben heard it, he rescued him out of their hands, saying, let us not take his life. And Reuben said to them, shed no blood through him. Throw him into the pit, into the wilderness, but do not lay a hand on him, that he might rescue him. So this was his idea. This was his plan. This was his oldest brother's plan. That he might rescue him out of their hands to restore him to his father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore. And they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. How did they recognize that it was Joseph coming for a far off? He was wearing the coat. It would seem that he never takes his coat off. Even by going outside, he'd be always wearing this coat. This gave his brothers just seeing, oh my word. Really? He has to put it in our face. Not only do we have to look after the sheep and he sits at home and does nothing, but he's still going to put it in our faces that he's got our father's favor. That is just not a wise thing to do. So, point one of this evening, the position of the pit. What brought you to the pit? How did you get into this position? And maybe a better question would be, did you contribute to your circumstances? Did you contribute to your circumstances? Often when we're in the pit, the easiest and the fastest thing for us to do is to blame someone else. And I'm sure Joseph, when he was in that pit, would have done exactly the same in the beginning. He would have said, Lord, why? Why would you allow my brothers to do this to me? What have I done? Why did his brothers hate him so much? They hated him because he kept on putting in their faces that they're going to bow down before him. Why was he not with him in the first place looking after sheep? And why did he have to wear the coat all the time? Must have been an Armani or something really very fancy coat back in those days. I present before us the question that we need to ask ourselves, God, what are you saying? Many of us, when we go through the pits, and as I said in the previous sermon, there's no 1 to 10 through these character tests. As Joseph goes through these 10 character tests. Because often in our lives, or more than once in our life, we will find ourselves in the pit. It's not a tick, I was through the pit, I'm never going to the pit again. And what we need to ask ourselves when we're in the pit is, God, what are you saying to me? Joseph had his father's favor. We have the favor of God in our lives. Joseph's father gave him a gift. Our father gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us gifts. Joseph was proud and arrogant and showed off his gifts. What do you do with your gifts? So many of us find our character and our identity in our gifts, in what we do or who we are, as in, I am a doctor, I am an engineer, I work for this company, I work for that company, my salary is this, I live in this area, I don't live in that area. Luckily, when I came to Durbanville, I had no idea what the difference was between anything. I'm still very confused. People live in Belleville and they claim they live in Durbanville. People that live in Durbanville will tell you you live in Belleville. I don't get it. I don't understand how this all works yet. I haven't been here long enough. Identity. So many of us, identity, so many of our identities are based in our gifts. In church, people always often come up to me, hi Bernie, I'm a prophet. And I'm like, congratulations, that's awesome. Or I'm an evangelist, or I'm a revivalist. And I go, whoa, I'll just take a step back, you know, your anointing is too big for me. And mostly, the reason we do this, it's because our pride or our insecurity is what we base it in. Because we struggle with pride or we struggle with insecurity. Insecure in ourselves or pride, and we dealt a little bit with that last time. The psalmist says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you. And lead me along the path of everlasting life. The psalmist is saying, humble yourself before God. Let him truly show you what your heart is. See, after a while, Joseph would have gone in that pit and go, okay, Lord, okay. Maybe it is a little bit my fault. And maybe I did boast a little bit too much. So he probably started as all of us. Why me, God? Why me? Who has never prayed that or asked God that? Raise up your hand. We would like to have you lay hands on us and pray for us. You know how it goes. It's getting really bad and the whole world is falling apart. It feels like everything is just not working. Nothing wants to come together. And you lost your job and your dog ran away and your cat ate up all the dog food and your children have disowned you and life is just crazy. And then someone drives into your car. You know that moment? I had that moment a few years ago, just being real and honest. I had that moment a few years ago, everything was going wrong. And then someone was kind enough to come and give me a little kiss on the side. And I remember sitting in the car and I was white knuckled as I'm holding onto the steering wheel. And I'm just praying. And I realized in that moment, one of two things is going to happen. One, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to be arrested. Or two, I'm going to be able to show Christ. And the only way I could do that is I was just literally, I felt like I sat in eternity in this car and I was just praying, Lord, I bless this person and I bless their family and I bless their insurance that's going to pay out for this mess. And I bless. And I was just speaking life of this person. And the person's already climbed out and already apologizing and already got their particulars out and writing down. And I'm just sitting in this car, which felt for eternity, just to get my heart in the right place. Because I was going, why me, God, why? We get to those places where we find ourselves in the pit. For many of us, it's a financial pit. Or emotional pit. There's many different pits in our lives. The corona pit. Now I'm going to say something. Hear what I'm saying before you stone me. So I did put up the scripture just to show you that you are right. But because of his pride, he lost his gift. Now the first thought that comes to mind when you say that is God's gifts and his call can never be withdrawn. Romans 11, you are correct. That's 100% correct. I did not say that God took it away from him. I said he lost it. We have seen over the past few years many high-profile pastors that have lost their gift. We've seen that in Shofar. A sobering, sobering thought. Most of the time because of a lack of character. I always get very concerned when I see someone flourishing too fast. Not because I'm jealous, not because I'm concerned about them doing well, but because my concern is for their character. Can their character withstand their anointing? Most of the time, our character cannot. Suddenly you get a promotion. Suddenly, you know, you get they promote you 3-4 levels in the business and you get the massive salary. Are you going to be able to be humble? Are you still going to be that person that started in the mail room putting the post into everyone's box? When you started as a clergy, when you started at the lowest form in the company, here's the good news. So can I get my gift back? What happens if I lose my gift? Great question. Thanks for asking. Joseph became the second most powerful person in the world. He had many coats. In fact, he'd walk into his home, press the button, and that whole shelf would come flying out, and there'd be like 100 coats. Every living color. God is a God of grace. And if he can do it for Joseph, man, he can do it for me and you. Whatever you lose because of foolishness, if you repent, you'll get back 100-fold. Man, that's good. I only heard one amen. Thank you for that amen behind the camera. I really appreciate that. I heard it from here. So point one, the position of the point, the position of the pit. Point two, the perspective of the pit. What is God's perspective on your pit? In other words, we need to recognize the accuser when we are in the pit. The devil will always be the first person in that pit with you. Now, whenever the enemy opens his mouth, he's lying. That's what he does. He just lies. If Satan's talking, he's lying. God does not bring damnation. He does not condemn us. He convicts us. Condemnation is general. Conviction is specific. Write that down. Condemnation is general. I'm not good enough. I'm a loser. Don't know what I'm doing. Conviction is specific. Bernie, stop. Stop generalizing. Thanks, Joe. Specific. It will zone into a certain area of sin in your life and say, stop doing that. Stop gossiping. Stop speaking bad about people. Stop speaking bad about your boss. Stop thinking bad thoughts towards this person or that person, whatever it will be. See, John 3:16, we know it off by heart, but John 3:17 says, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. We are already condemned. Romans 5, verse 18. It's not on the board. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation of all men, we are damned without Christ. He did not come to condemn us. He came to set us free. So don't listen to the voice that condemns. What does God have to say about your pit? Let's go on with Scripture. Then the brothers killed a young goat and dipped Joseph's robe in its blood. They sent the beautiful robe to their father with this message. Look at what we found. Doesn't this robe belong to your son? Their father recognized it immediately. Yes, he said, it is my son's robe. A wild animal must have eaten him. Joseph has clearly been torn to pieces. The enemy is the father of all lies. You see, the brothers only gave a little inclining. Originally in the scripture, they said, no, but let's tell our father. They didn't even have to tell the father. The father made his own assumption, and for 22 years, he believed the lie that his son was killed by an animal. For 22 years. The enemy comes to lie. Satan is such a good liar that he will fabricate evidence to back up his lies. You're not good enough. See, I told you. You just failed in this project. You don't deserve to find a husband one day. See, that man doesn't like you. See, that man doesn't like you. That man doesn't like you. So obviously you'll never find a man. And vice versa. What is the perspective of God that God has on the pit? So point one, the position of the pit. Point two, the perspective of the pit. Point three, the magic question, what is the purpose of the pit? The main reason that the Lord allows you to find yourself in a pit is so that you can cry out unto God. The main reason that God wants you in that pit is so that you can cry out unto Him. What else is there to do in a pit? Right? Our greatest deception is that we can do anything without God. Scripture says that we can't even take a breath. We can't even breathe. Every breath comes from God. You know, I could have said, Lord, help me. I've now been in this accident. And then, you know, insurance kicks in, fixes it. Oh, don't worry, Lord. Insurance has got this. How do we get out of the corona pit? The great thing about this corona pit is you've got to recognize all this that's happening here. We had Pastor Summit this week. We called it Zummit because it was over Zoom. And Pastor Heinrich asked us a question. How's it going? with you personally, and we broke up into rooms, and God's favor was on my life, because there was two pastors that I'm very, very fond of. So three of us sat in a room, and one in literally on all sides of South Africa. Kind of, if you had to draw the triangle of South Africa, that's how we were positioned. And so in other words, very far from one another. I don't want to mention the places' names. And the first pastor starts, you know, well, guys, it's not going so well. Really struggling through this season, and, you know, with the family and the church and how to deal with it. And then they asked me to share. Now, one thing about me is I am going to be dead honest. And I can haul them now. I'm like, oaks. Like, I'm not even sure I'm saved anymore. You know, I'm like, I'm working out my salvation every day. I'm so thankful for that. Scripture says, work out your salvation daily. And I'm working out my salvation daily. And I shared just where I'm at and stuff. And the one guy's wife was listening in, and she's off camera. And so she runs in and she goes, yeah, that's my Manda. And runs off. So right there, we just got real. And we were able to just honestly say, how are we doing? You know, we're not doing so well. It's getting a bit tough. I'm dealing with things I never knew how to deal with. So this environment that we find ourselves in makes us have to introspect and go, but am I really a good father? Am I really a good husband? Am I really a good pastor? No, only God is good. Praise the Lord for that. Dealing with our pits. In the start of lockdown, I gave a sermon called Jonah Corona, and I'd like to quote Uncle Jonah right now. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly. Side note, after 3 days, he was in this pit for 3 days before he started crying out. In other words, he was probably going, why me? For 3 days. And then he started crying out. I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. It's okay to have affliction. It is okay for you to deal with affliction. And he answered me, out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. Verse 6, I went down to the mooring of the mountains, the earth with its bars closed behind me forever, yet you have brought me up from the pit, O Lord, my God. The word Sheol is a Old Testament Hebrew word that means grave or pit. It's where we get our saying from the pit of hell. Most of you Afrikaans, you've probably never heard of that. It is a saying. I'm just joking. Out of the pit, we cry out unto God. It's there where Jonah had to get himself to a place where he could be obedient to what God had for his life, because he wanted something totally else. Now listen to this. But Reuben heard it, and he delivered him, being Joseph, out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And at the end there, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to the Father. The heart of God. Listen carefully, let me stop there. Reuben is the firstborn. He's the eldest. He represents, all right? So the Old Testament is a foreshadow of the New Testament. Reuben represents Christ, the firstborn. And the heart of the firstborn, Jesus Christ, is to deliver us and bring us to the Father. Isn't that beautiful? We get that from Colossians 1 verse 15. So the Old Testament is a foreshadow. It's a foretelling of the story of Christ. Let's look at how Joseph is a Christ-type figure. Joseph was stripped of his cloak. Christ was stripped of his cloak. Scripture says that Joseph was sold for a profit. You remember his brother sold him for 20 shekels, 20 pieces of silver. Jesus was sold for 30 pieces. They believe, historically we believe, that the merchandise, the merchants, those guys, the Midianites, they sold him, they believe, for 30 pieces of silver. The Midianite traders bore spices, balm, and myrrh. Nicodemus, when he buried Christ, buried him with balm and myrrh. Wow, did you ever see that in Scripture before? Is no one excited? It's okay. I am. Joseph was betrayed by his brother Judah. Judah's on the scene, let's sell him. Jesus was betrayed by Judas. It's the same root word. The same Hebrew root word, Judas and Judah. And what do we see? Joseph was thrown in the pit. And we see Christ went to the ultimate pit. Why is this important? This is important because Jesus went to the pit so that we never have to. You never have to go into a pit. And if you are in a pit, God will never leave you in the pit. He did not leave Christ in the pit. He will not leave you in your pit. Psalm 40 verse 2. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. In your time in the pit, God wants to pull you out of that pit. He wants to put you on solid ground. I believe that God's saying there's a time of refreshing coming during this lockdown still. The only way that Joseph could have gotten to the promised land, for his promised land, for the promise that God had of his life, is if he went to the pit, because he had to be sold. So that he could get into Egypt in the first place. God has a plan and a purpose for your pit. And part of it is just, the main reason is just to get your character right. I'm going to call up the band. We're going to sing that song again. Vanna, can we just do maybe just one part of it, and then I'm going to ask you where you are, if you're needing, if you're crying out at this time, and you just need to hear God's voice in this pit. We're going to stand and we're going to pray together. So I just want to prepare you for that. And the good news is, when you're in your pit, you're alone. So whether you're going to stand or not stand, I suggest you stand, because you're alone in your pit. We're going to leave you and we might see you standing, but our lives are going to carry on. This is a moment, a holy moment, for us to connect with God and say, God, I cry out unto you. I repent. I'm sorry for blaming everyone else. I'm sorry for it's everyone else's fault. Listen carefully. It's not that you're in the pit, it's what you do with the pit. It's what you do with your circumstances. Maybe your boss is wrong, and maybe your wife is wrong, and maybe your parents were wrong and are wrong, and maybe all that, but how do you deal with it is the question. This is a hard word. This is really a hard word, actually. I'm sorry that life was hard. I really am. I'm really sorry, but we need to get over it, because Christ has empowered us to get over it. And if we keep blaming, we're never going to get out of that pit. If it's always someone else's fault, there's no end to our pit. So like Jonah, let's get over our 3 days to the point of absolute panic and undoneness. And that was such a beautiful moment for me with those pastors. The three of us just became undone before one another. Got real. I felt so refreshed after that conversation with them. Because they're my brothers in the Lord, and I trust them, and I know them, and I love them, and I've walked with them. And just to be able to share with them in my absolute misery and their absolute miseries and say, God is good. We know there's an end to our pit. We look up out of the pit and we look into the heavens. For those of us that are in the pit and those of us that have been in the pit and recognize that space. We thank you, Jesus, that your heart is to deliver us and bring us to the Father. I pray, Lord, that we will learn in this season, in this time, what we need to learn. In this time of lockdown, in this time of moaning, in this time of saying, I can't anymore, or this or that. I pray, Father God, that we will truly be silent, sit still, and cry out unto you. Our hearts cry. Lord, save us, help us, deliver us. Bring the breakthroughs that we need. Deliver us of self. Deliver me of self. In a few years, Lord, there's going to be a multitude of hungry, Lord, and there's going to be a 7-year drought and a 7-year of flourishing and 7 years of drought, Lord. Let me get this right so I can get over the fact that I feel more, want to feel more important than my brothers and my family. And get me to that place, Lord, that my character will be strong enough. Get us into that place that our character, Lord, will be strong enough. In Jesus' name. I had a very concerning conversation as a pastor. We need to minister to people, and I was ministering to someone, and their conversation was how the president is getting it all wrong and he's doing the wrong stuff, and how the lockdown's not done right, and how this country's going the wrong way, and how this person was there, everyone that they know is now leaving the country, and they want to leave the country. And I just sat there, and my heart was just sunk. And the opportunity was not there to really bring it out, to just didn't go that way. You always have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because otherwise it's just... I didn't want to condemn the person. I wanted them to have conviction. I'm praying for this person for the conviction. We need to change our attitude. We need to change our... Ons redenasie. Die manier wat ons redeneer. It's very one-dimensional. My question as I'm going through this craziness is, Lord, what do we need to learn during this time? What do I need to learn? What do we need to know as the church? This is the first wave of many crazy things to come. The Lord started speaking to us many years ago, 2011 already. That's why we started disaster management. I started a disaster management NGO called Relief Life. We started because God said there's some crazy stuff coming. Get right, get ready. And every time I just feel I'm absolutely failing, I'm absolutely failing, I'm not getting it right, I'm not doing what God's calling us to do, I'm not getting it yet. And so my question and my prayer to the Lord is, Lord, what do we need to learn as the Church of Jesus Christ in this time? I know we are struggling. I know that we have these challenges. I know that it's hard. I know that we're lonely, and I know that we're dealing with a lot. But as you're dealing with all this, Don't just deal with this. Deal with the root. Get to the bottom of this. We've not suffered to the point of bloodshed. We're not being persecuted. We're not being arrested. We're not writing each other letters from jail. It's not so hard. We're not living in Patmos. They tried to kill John in so many ways that the only way they could do is excommunicate him. The guy just didn't want to die. I don't want to speak lightly of the situation. This is a dire strait situation. People are losing their jobs. It's a hard time. I don't want to belittle the time. But I'm saying we need to look at Scripture, what Scripture says. And it is no better in any other place in the world. And that's what confused me more than anything else. I'm watching America. I don't know if you've seen that zoo. Has anyone seen the American zoo? It's a zoo in America at the moment. That's what I mean. It's crazy. The God bless the American president. He's doing some funny stuff. But you know what the main problem, the main thing that Americans are doing? They're busy saying, I have the right. You cannot tell me to wear a mask. That's their biggest concern through all of this. Think about this. I have the right not to have the mask so that I can make other people sick. Think about that. I'm more important than my neighbor. That's what they're saying. And America has the biggest stats of people getting sick per day. It's crazy. The rest of the world slowly, surely going down. America's going up. You know, they're always going up in every way. I watched a documentary on what they did. Sorry, I'm not babbling, but I watched a documentary on the economy that crashed, the housing that crashed in 2008. It's crazy where people are at. And 2015, they started the same system because they did not learn. What are you supposed to learn in your pit? Otherwise, ladies and gentlemen, you will continually find yourself in the pit. If you don't learn to start stewarding money, you'll always be in financial problems. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.